So we're taking a look on Shabbos Daf Kuf Vav, and I can give you this for the meantime, but it's a matana nasaha, so I might have to take it back from you. Okay then, and we're going to start with Tosfos Divrei Maschil Chutz, which you'll see on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph on the top left, and the Gemara establishes here that in the cases of Chovil of Mavri Yechayev, even though it's Mekalkel, and that was the Brice of Rabbi Avo, to which Rabbi Yochanan stood up and he objected, and he said, Pok Tani Livra, I cannot accept this Brice. Pirish Rabbeinu Shmuel, Tosfos Kotz Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rabbi Avo Sofer Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Mekalkel Bechabura Chayef. So, according to Rabbeinu Shmuel, one of the Bali Atosus, Rabbi Avo, who has this brisa of Chutz Michovel Umavir, holds like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds that Mekalkel Bechabura is Chayef. Yesterday we had a long discussion, how exactly did the Gemara know that Rav Shimon was of the opinion that Mekalkel Bechabura is Chayev? Now Tosfos Shita, which we mentioned yesterday, is going to come up later in this Tosfos in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, in which Rabbi Yochanan is going to argue with Rabbi Avo about the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, as we discussed yesterday. However, Rabbeinu Shmuel is before Rabbeinu Tam in this Tosfos, and he holds that Rabbi Yochanan Savrala ki Rabbi Yehuda diomar mekalkel bechaburu bavara potur. In other words, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is mekil, and he holds that mekalkel bechabura ubehavara potur, and that's true even according to the Bali Atosfos, that certainly Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that Mekalkel B'chabura is Patur. However, Tosfos is going to have the opinion, if you recall yesterday, that Rabbi Yochanan was arguing against Rabbi Avo according to Rabbi Shimon. How does Rabbi Shimon hold in the case of Mekalkel B'chabura? So just to, again, to jolt your memory, what we learned yesterday was that according to Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon is machmir on Mekalkel Gomur, and he holds that Mekalkel B'chabura is chayev, even though it's a kilkul gomur, total kilkul. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan interprets Rabbi Shimon as holding that we require what's called a tikkun ktsas, which means it's letzorech kalbo or letzorech afro. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that in general, mekalkel bechabura is potur, even if it's letzorech kalbo, letzorech afro, because those are not recognized as a tikkun. So that's what we saw yesterday. Today, we're focused on Rabbeinu Shmuel. And Rabbi Yehuda holds mekalkel bechabura bavara potur, and Rabbi Yochanan accepts the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore v'tzarech lekalbo liafro lo chashiv mekalkel. However, Rabbi Yehuda would say in the case of tzarech lekalbo tzarech liafro yachayev, and the reason for that is because that's considered a tikkun. And that's all, if you recall, based on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, as we discussed in Rashi's frame of reference at great length, that Malacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa is Chayav. So the Torah validates even a Tzorach, which is not Legufo, for example, Tzorach Kalbo, which is a Tikkun Eitzel Acherim, or Tzorach Afro, and that also is considered Litzorach, and that makes the Malacha of Chovel, the Malacha of Mavir, into a Maleches Tikkun. So after quoting Rabbeinu Shmuel, one of the Bali Atosus, Tosus comments that this is really a reflection of the Shita of Rashi. So let's just summarize. According to Shitas Rashi, the machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan revolves around the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Avo reflects the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And since Rabbi Shimon holds that malacha shein tzricha legufa is potur, therefore a tzorech which is other than external to the gufa shel malacha is not considered a valid tzorech, which means that tzorech lekalbo, tzorech liafro is not really a tzorech, and therefore it's mekalkel b'chabur and yet yechayev. Rabbi Shimon, in fact, is going to derive these two conclusions from mila and Sreifas Bas Kohen, Shazinsa. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds Mekalka B'chabur is Chayav. And in the case of Tzorach L'Kalbo, Tzorach L'Afro, that's considered a Meleches Tigun, because Rabbi Yehuda has the expanded definition of the Tzorach, because he holds that Melech Shein Tzich L'Gufa is Chayav. Now we have the onslaught of Tosfos against Rabbeinu Shmuel, against Rashi, Vekoshe, Diem Kain, if this be the case, Amai, Omerle, why did he say Pok Toni Livro? Why was Rabbi Yochanan so harsh against Rabbi Avos Brisa? After all, Rabbi Avos Brisa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And that's not so terrible. And at this point, Tosfos says that Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing according to Rabbi Shimon. That's what we discussed at great length yesterday. Rabbi Avo holds that according to Rabbi Shimon, Chovil Mavir, even if it's a total kilkul, is Chayav. And even if he doesn't need the dam for his kelev, or the burning of the wood for his afer, nevertheless, he's Chayav, according to Rabbi Shimon. And that's what Rabbi Shimon is going to derive from Mila and Avaras Bas Kohen Shezinsa. They're both cases of absolute kilkul, and Rabbi Shimon says Yechai. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds that Rabbi Shimon also agrees that we need a tikkun, but at least a tikkun ktsas. And what's a tikkun ktsas? That's tzorach lekalbo uli afro. He needs it for the blood for his dog, he needs the afer to cook his egg, as we discussed. And milan havara ika tikkun ktsas shu tzorach mitzvah aval Rabbi Yehuda afilu tzorach afro v'kalbo potu di ein zet tikkun choshuv di ein derech lachbol b'chavero k'dei litein dam l'kalbo o lisrov gadish b'shvil ha'efer. So notice that the Tosfos here in Shabbos uses the phrase tikkun choshuv. That's what he needs. He requires a tikkun choshuv. So it comes out that according to Tosfos' explanation of the machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avo says that mekalkel b'chabur according to Rabbi Shimon, even though it's a total kilkul yechayev, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we need a tikkun ktsas, and we have a tikkun ktsas in the cases of mila and sreifas bas kohen because it's a tzorach mitzvah. That's called a tikkun ktsas. Rabbi Avo apparently holds no, that Rabbi Shimon doesn't require any tzorach at all in meleches chabur and meleches mavir. Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the cases of mila and sreifa, we have a tikkun choshuv, that tzorach mitzvah is considered a tikkun choshuv, but in the cases of chovil and mavir, there we don't have a tikkun choshuv. You'll tell me, but he needs the dam. It's not normal for a person to beat up someone and take out his blood in order to feed his kelev. And it's not normal for a person to burn down a gadish in order to make the afer. And therefore, since the kilkul by far outweighs the tikkun, that's not called a tikkun choshuv. In the case of a mitzvah, the Torah absolutely commands me in that mitzvah. That makes it into a tikkun choshuv. But in the absence of a mitzvah, if I'm just burning something down for the sake of the afer, or if I am destroying someone's blood system for the sake of feeding my kelev, that's called a tikkun which is not choshev at all. It doesn't register as a tikkun, and therefore in those cases you would be potter. So then Rabbi Yehuda would only be mechayev you in the cases of chovil umavir if you have a tikkun choshev, which could mean litzark mitzvah, or any other sort of tikkun which would be accepted, shall we say, universally, and we wouldn't apply the principle of butler daitel to call them. Other people in the same situation would do that in order to achieve that goal. And Tosfos here goes l'shitaso that l'tzorech mitzvah is considered a tzorech, and it's considered a tikkun, which is against Rashi. If you remember, we had a long discussion that Rashi denies that Tzorach Mitzvah is considered a Tikkun. According to Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon doesn't require a Tzorach at all. And I don't know what that means. Does that mean that according to Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon denies the halacha of the concept of tikkun? It would seem that he's deriving from Mila and Sreifas Pas Kohen that even though there's no tikkun at all, nevertheless you're chayev, and Tzorach Mitzvah is not considered a tikkun. So it's very interesting. One way of explaining Rabbi Avo in Rabbi Shimon is to assume that that stream of psak reflects the idea of Rashi that tikkun mitzvah is not considered tikkun. And again, if you'll ask me, so why in the case of Korea is it considered tikkun? We had a long discussion that there he fixes up the beged. Fine. Another way, another possible way of interpreting Rabbi Avo in Rabbi Shimon, it could be that Rabbi Avo is moda that according to Rabbi Shimon a tikkun mitzvah is considered a tikkun, but he still thinks that it's makalkel. In other words, there's an element of tikkun in mitzvah, but it's not enough to offset the more powerful and profound kilkul. So even though there's a mitzvah to take the life of the bas kohen, and there is a mitzvah element here, but you can't call that a real bona fide tikkun, because at the end of the day, she's losing her life. Or in the case of the tinok, even though there's a mitzvah element, but Rabbi Afo says that taking the blood out of the tinok, and we know how weak the child is by exposing the child to circumcision, that's considered a tikkun she'eino choshev. It's not called a tikkun despite the mitzvah element. As I said at the outset, it could very well be that Rabbi Afo denies the principle of tikkun mitzvah and he holds it's not a tikkun. That's what I wanted to do here as far as Tosfos Dibra Maschil Chutz. And now what I'd like to do is fast forward to Tosfos Dibra Maschil Bechovel, which is the second Tosfos on the Daf. Now, at the beginning of this Tosfos, which is not the part that I want to focus on, I want to focus on the words V'im Tomar, which are in the middle of Tosfos, but at the beginning of Tosfos, he asks Akasha, where do we find that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Makalkel in a case of a Malacha Shetzricha Legufa is going to be Chayev? In other words, you remember that we had a problem here, because even if you hold Makalkel b'chabur is chayev, it still has to be a malacha tzricha legufa, and Tos has to work out a scenario in which it is both at the same time a maleches makalkel and a malacha hatzricha legufa. Okay, fine. And that's what we discussed yesterday. Now, can anybody find the words v'im tomar here? In this Tosfos Dibra Maschil Bechovel, if you happen to have Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud, is it before the wide lines or after the wide lines? Every Gemara is a little bit. I have a different printing here.
It's the third from the bottom of the wide lines.
Yeah. So you're going up. You're going down from the
wide line.
From the wide lines to the third line. V'im Tomer Tzorch L'Kabel Yafra. Kuf Vav Amin Aleph, the second Tosfos on the page, Bechovel, towards the very bottom of the Tosfos, V'im Tomer.
Where's V'im Tomer?
It's two lines up before the end of the Tosfos, or three lines up? Three lines up, sorry. V'im Tomer Tzorch L'Kabel Uli Afro Hechi Choshev Tzricha L'Gufa. What are we telling you now? We're telling you now that if he was chovel letzorach lekalbo, or he was mavir letzorach liafro, that he's going to be chayev, and that applies even if you maintain that that's called a meleches kilkul. But how is it a melacha tzricha legufa? Maishna michofer guma v'ein tzorach el liafro. So just like here, he burns down the haystack, but he only needs the afer, so right? So he doesn't get anything from the fire that he created, except for the afer, that's something else. Or, for example, if he takes blood out of his victim, but he has to feed his kelev, how is that different than someone who takes dirt out of the ground, and he needs the dirt, he doesn't need the hole in the ground? That's called the melacha shein tzricha legufa. The Yeshlomer Tosus answers lo dami. It's not the same. The hacha hu tzarech l'netilas neshama. He needs the dam. The dam itself, by extracting the dam, is netilas neshama. So that's the essence of the melacha of chovel. And why does he need the dam, which is netilas neshama? Because the neshama is in the dam. Ki adamu anefesh, as Tosus is going to quote in a second. Kidei lases lekalvo. He needs the dam in order to feed his kelev. Ki adam hu anefesh. So what is the essence of the malach? If I can use a brisket terminology, what's the chefta of maleches chovel? And what's the answer? Dam. The dam itself is called the chefta shel malach. Does he need the dam? Then it's tzricha legufa. Does he not need the dam? Then it's ena tzricha legufa. So for example, if a person wants to extract dam, I gave this mashal yesterday because the dam is somehow damaging, it's harmful to his body, so he needs the otzas dam. Or in the case of boel bilas mitzvah b'shav rishon b'shavis in ksumas daf hey amid beis that we studied, where he needs the dam to clarify and establish her loyalty to him during the erusin period. In those cases, since he needs the dam, that makes it into a melacha tzricha legufa. Yeah, but now what about the case of mavir? Umavir nami tzorech lahavara. He needs the fire. Kidei lasos efer. Interesting. Tosus holds, not like Rashi. If you recall, Rashi holds that the cheft of meleches mavir are the eitzim, the wood that's going to go up in flame. And that's certainly a melech shen tzricha legufa if he wants to put his pot on the fire, or he needs the fire to create ashes. All that would be melech shen tzricha legufa according to Rashi, because Rashi defines the chefta, the object of meleches mavir, are the combustible wood, the logs of wood that are going up in smoke. Tosa says no. What's the tzricha legufa? What's the gufa, the chefta of meleches mavir? It's the esh itself, and he needs the esh. And why does he need the esh? Kidei lasos efer. Or he gives another example, the classic example of mavir kidei levashel kidera. He needs the fire in order to cook his pot. Avol chofer haguma, where the malacha is the guma itself, the karka itself, which now has an opening that's roy, that's, you know, you sow the ground, you plant the seeds. He says that's not his tzorach at all. He's not in the least interested in the karka and in the whole, the guma and the karka. And therefore, chofer guma nasos me'lea, he says that the guma is made automatically. V'eino nena mimenu klum, he gets no benefit from the guma. In fact, it could be that the guma is even detrimental for him, because it makes a pothole in his backyard. Somebody might fall in. So Tosus therefore has established that tzorach lekalvo, tzorach leafro, is considered a melacha tzricha legufa, and is radically different than chofer guma v'eino tzorach leafro, which is a melacha sheina tzricha legufa. Tosus says in the case of chovel he needs the dam, in the case of mavir he needs the fire, and that makes it into a melacha hatzricha legufa. So imagine you could have afar without a guma, and you could have a guma without afar. You know, those are two separate things. So his tzorach is not for the guma; his tzorach is for the afar. But in the case of burning down something, you can't have the fire without burning something, and you can't have the burning without the fire. And in the case of removing the dam, you can't take out the neshama without getting the dam out, and you can't get the dam out without taking the neshama, because the neshama is in the dam, and that makes it into a malacha hatzricha leguf. Now let's go back to the part of Tosfos on the top of the page that we skipped, and that's Rabbeinu Tam. And let's see if we can fill that in. So if everybody's on the same page here, we're on Shabbos Daf Kuvav and Aleph, the top Tosus Dibra Maskil Chutz, and we're up to the words Afal Gav. Now, what do we have to know by way of introduction to these words Afal Gav? We've already established, Rabosai, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Chovel v'tzarech lidam lekalbo, that's considered makalkel. Why is that considered makalkel? Tosus says it doesn't make any sense, let's say from a financial perspective, to burn down a goddish in order to get the afer, or to, it doesn't make any sense for a person to victimize someone, squeeze out his blood in order to feed his dog. That's not derech lachbol bishvil hadam. Now Tosus now wants to take this a step further and speak about what's called shochet. Now, if a person slaughters an animal on Shabbos, he's chayev for meleches shechita. In the case of a Korban Pesach, the Torah says that Korban Pesach overrides the Shabbos. And we had yesterday a Gemara in Pesachim, that's what Tosfos quoted in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Pesachim says that if a person shechts an animal on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev, unless it's a Korban Pesach. If, for example, he shechts a korban, a zevach, which is not kosher for Korban Pesach, it cannot become a Korban Pesach, even though he had in mind when he shechted it, it should be a Korban Pesach. It's not a Korban Pesach, it's disqualified. As Harvey said yesterday, it's worthless. And therefore, he has now a shechita which doesn't override the Shabbos. And if the shechita doesn't override the Shabbos, then he's chayav for shechita. And Tosus claims that he has a proof that shechita is called makalkel. Very strange, that shechita is called makalkel. How does Tosus know this? From a Gemara in Masechta Chulin. Excellent. So we'll go through the Tosus inside and then we'll open up Belined of the Gemara in Chulin. I hope we all have copies of the Gemara in Chulin. And Tosus says the following: Afagav de kol shochet makalkel hu. How do I know that shochet is a makalkel? And now we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, makalkel b'chabura is patur. Can I read and I'll prove to you that shochet is called a kilkul b'perakama de Chulin. Sakin shall avodazara muta lishchot ba. Okay, so let's hold on to this Tosus and immediately open up the Gemara in Chulin.
Everyone needs a copy of Chulin.
You have an extra copy of Chulin? Okay, that's good. And it's towards the bottom of the Amud. I guess you'd call it about seven lines up from the bottom. Omer of Nachman, Chulin Daf Chesam and Alf, Omer Rabbah. Sakin shall avodas kochovim. Imagine he designated this knife for idol worship, because keep in mind that the prime way of worshiping an idol is by slaughtering an animal and bringing it on their altars for their idols. So now he already used this sakin for avodah zarah. What status does that knife now take on? It's Isra Anah, correct? It's Isra Anah. And you're not allowed to have any benefit from that sakin. Comes along Rabbi Avo, comes along Rav Nachman in the name of Rav, in the name of Rabbi Avo, and he says, sakin shel avodas kochovim muto lishchot ba. You're allowed to shecht with it. And the Gemara explains on the next line, we'll just fast forward to what's relevant to us, muto lishchot ba, why? Mekalkel hu. What does this mean? Isuri Anah are violated when you benefit from something. But how do you gauge a benefit? When is it called hana? And the answer is we have to weigh the assets against the deficits. In the case of an animal, a live ox, let's say, it was worth $1,000 on the market as a work ox. And now he shechted it, its meat is worth half that amount. It's only worth $500. So in terms of my balance sheet, the value of this animal has depreciated in a very significant way, and that's called makalkel. And that therefore, I did not derive any hanah from this. Even though, again, you would say, well, a person is not crazy for shechting an animal; he wants to eat the meat, and he gets a certain benefit from eating the meat. But nevertheless, on a value scale, that benefit that he gets from the meat is just a fraction of the market value of this ox when it was alive. But in any event, the Gemara says explicitly that the reason why you don't violate Isra Hanah by using this knife to shecht an animal is because Shechita is called a Mekalkel. And Tosus has a Gzeir Shavah, Mekalkel, Mekalkel. Just like it's called a Mekalkel. Le'inyan Isra Hanah, then Shechita on Shabbos should be a Meleches Kilkul as well. And let's go back now to how Tosus on Daf Kuvav. The afal gab to call shochet mekalkel hu kidam rina beperikam edechulin sakin shall avod a zara mutal lishchot ba. So we see that shchita is considered a everybody shchita is considered what a mekalkel a kilkul, and yet shochet b'shabbos is chayav, and that means that even according to Rabbi Yehuda who says that mekalkel b'chabura is potur, nevertheless shochet is chayav. Tosus answers, Moda Rabbi Udalinian Shabbos the Chayav. Even though you call it Makalkil as far as the concept of Isuri Hanah, nevertheless, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's not called a Kilkul. The Dafkolinian Avodah Zara, Choshuv Makalkil. Dichsiv, Vlo Yidbok Biyod Chamu Uwa Minacherem. This is the pasuk which serves as the source for the Isra Hanah from Avodah Zara. The Torah calls and classifies Avodah Zara as Cherem. Cherem means you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. Lo chashiv le nana. Here it's not considered that he benefited from this sakin shel avodah zara by shechting an animal. Came into kilkulo. Please underline these words. Kilkulo yoser al tikuno. That in the ultimate balance sheet, the kilkul is greater. It weighs down the tikun. But Tosus here, in a certain sense, falls a little bit shy of giving us the entire answer. He has told me why in Hilchos Shechita Shel Hanah, this is Shechita is considered not Hanah, not a benefit, but rather a Kilkul, but he still hasn't told me why Shechita is Chayev on Shabbos. If Shechita is a Maisa Kilkul, because it goes down in value, then why is he chayav on Shabbos? Anybody want to give an answer to that question? Tosus doesn't address this question. I don't know why. He leaves us hanging in, you know, a cliffhanger mid-air. Why is Shechita chayav on Shabbos? Why isn't it a mekalkel? After all, the detriments outweigh the benefits. So if you hold that there's some concept called tikkun ktsas, that makes sense. So let's go through the various shitas. We had the shita of Rabbi Yochanan in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon says what Dr. Joel just said, that there's a tikkun ktsas. And why should shchita, when he needs the meat, be any different, should fall short of the case of Chovel v'tzarech dam lekalmo, or Mavir v'tzarech ha'efer. Here too, he needs the shchita for the sake of the meat. That's fine. But if you recall, according to Shitas HaTosfos that we just saw before and we discussed yesterday at great length, according to Rabbi Yehuda says that tikkun ktsas is not enough of a tikkun. He, Rabbi Yehuda, requires a tikkun gomor. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. Now, if the shechita, that mekalkel b'chabura is potter. Now, if the shechita would be a mitzvah, again, the only time the shechita would be a mitzvah would be shechitas karban pesach, but otherwise the Torah forbids me, I'm enjoined from doing shechita on Shabbos. I wouldn't call that a mitzvah, I'd call it an avera. If it were a mitzvah, then you could argue that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that tikkun mitzvah is considered a tikkun chashuv. But in a case of shechita on Shabbos, it's highly unlikely and very outlandish to consider that shechita to be a tikkun mitzvah. I don't see any mitzvah in shechita on Shabbos. The person who shechts on Shabbos becomes a mumar. We can no longer trust his shechita henceforth because he violated the Shabbos. But why is this considered a violation of the Shabbos if the Gemara tells us in Chulin that this is considered a kilkul, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that kilkul is a kilkul, and you're potter in Chovil for a kilkul, even if there's a tikkun ktsas, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't recognize a tikkun ktsas? So what we're going to see here is that Rabbeinu Tam, in the next part of Tosfos, is going to introduce another variable into the equation. And that's called Eiver Minachai.
Where is it?
It's the last third of Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil Chutz. And in the skinny lines, the narrow lines in Tosfos, the second line up from the bottom of the narrow lines, you'll see it says Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh. Everybody have that? Deha dechashiv l'Rabbi Yehuda mekalkel b'tzarech l'kal bo v'afro. L'fisha ein hatikun ba v'osa shah. Rabbeinu Tam wants to come up with some sort of working definition for when does Rabbi Yehuda recognize a tikkun as a tikkun, a working definition, a principle. Because on the one hand, we're going to tell us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Chovel v'tzarech l'kalbo, Rabbi Yehuda says that's not called a tikkun, and he's not going to be chayav. On the other hand, in the case of Shochet, that is called a tikkun, and he will be chayav. So when is it called a tikkun, and when is it not called a tikkun? What is the barometer, what is the litmus test to determine whether or not this tikkun is considered a tikkun, it's valid, it crosses, shall I say, the red line, you know, the threshold, and it's considered what? A tikkun. At what point is considered a tikkun? And Rabbeinu Tam sets it up in the following way. The tikkun has to be bi'osa shah. If you can underline those two words, bi'osa shah. In the case of tzarech l'kalbo, or in the case of mavir v'tzarech li'afro, ein ha-tikkun ba bi'osa shah. We're lacking the condition of bi'osa shah. The tikkun is later on. There's a certain delay element in terms of the tikkun. Ela li'achar mikan, at point, let's call it time T1, he makes a chabura. At time T2, he takes the dam and he offers it to his caliph. Or in the case of Havara, first he burns the wood, that's time T1, and only later, after the burning process is complete, then he gets his afer, and he can enjoy the benefits of his afer. There's a delay process. There's time T1 and time T2 that's called Ein HaTikun Ba V'Yosa Shah, and a Tikun She'eno V'Yosa Shah Lav Shmei Tikun. It's not a Tikun Choshev. Masha'en, and he says, Aval Shochet V'Shavis HaKilkul Balo. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Aval B'Shochet V'Shas HaKilkul Balo HaTikun. Simultaneous with the kilkul, there is a tikkun. The kilkul is the death of the animal. Now the animal is no longer a live animal. It's immediately depreciating its value together with the shechita and the death of the animal. But at that very split second, there is a tikkun. We don't have to wait for time T2. Simultaneously, there's a tikkun. What is that simultaneous tikkun? Shemotzia midei ever minachai. That at that moment, the animal is considered basar heter, and a moment before that shechita, when I say a moment, I mean a fraction, instantaneously before the shechita, the basar, the meat of the animal, or the flesh of the animal was asur. So basically shechita accomplishes what? How would you classify or describe shechita? It's a matir. And that koch ha-matir, says Rabbeinu Tam, is enough to create a tikkun. Again, there's a very strange operation going on here in Tosfos. Until this point in Tosfos says that the reason why you're allowed to shecht with a sak in Shalavodah Zorah, and it's called a shechit, it's called a kilkul, is because let's look at the deficits. Let's analyze in financial market terms the depreciation of the live animal. Now all of a sudden, Tosfos introduces a new variable in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and that's the matir. And if there's a matir, that matir makes it into a meleches tikkun. And why is the power of the matir such that it converts what would normally be classified as a kilkul into a tikkun? The answer is because that tikkun, that matir, is simultaneous with the kilkul. If we have simultaneity between the kilkul and the tikkun of the matir, that makes it into a kilkul. Excuse me, that makes it into a tikkun. I was almost mekalkel there, but thank God you were attacking me. But offhand, this seems to undermine the whole sheet of Tosis. I mean, Tosis says that we gauge and our barometer for tikkun versus kilkul is the finance, is the market value, and if that be the case, I don't know why Rabbeinu Tam holds that the matir of Abram and Achai, which is again the shechita itself, why does that make the shechita into what? Into a tikkun. So this Rabbeinu Tam is a pella to me. Now, yeah,
I'm just thinking that it seems to be echoing Chimshay Ramban about the idea of the Eish, the previous Tosfot, and then here this idea of the Eish being the actual gufa of the Malacha, and the simultaneous factor seems to be, maybe that's even the source of Chimshay Ramban. I'm seeing similar ideas.
You're talking about that concept about Hanosu Biura Shava, that we spoke about Shvius and all that.
The Eish itself is being the element as opposed to the burning of the wood, but the Eish itself is the active.
But again, just logically, I don't understand the presentation of Tosis. You know, he builds mountains in the sky, mountains here, based on the Gemara in Chulin, and establishes that it's a financial balance sheet, and now all of a sudden he introduces the element of a matir. Now again, it's very nice, and I grant Tosis's premise that the matir is chal together with the kilkul at the same second, but what happened to Tosis's, you know, litmus test? I don't know where that went out the tubes over here. Okay. Now, what I want to say is the following. Avodah Zorah is an Iser Hanor, correct? And even though he has some Tikkun Ktsas when he shechts the animal, nevertheless, Tikkun Ktsas cannot outweigh the Kilkul Gadol, this great Kilkul, in the depreciation of the live animal through the shechita. So therefore, ultimately, that's not considered a hanor. And if it's not hanor, then it's mut. What about on Shabbos? So if you take a look back in page on your daf of Chulin, you'll see that Tosis Dibur Maschil Mutter in Chulin Daf Ches Amud Aleph, which is, I believe, the fourth Tosis on the page, he adds Chulin Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the fourth Tosis on the page, Dibra Maskel Mutter. Can you find such a thing?
Should be underlined.
You found it.
No.
You didn't find it.
Yeah.
You will find it.
It's the first one.
Well, I don't know if it's the first one, but it's there. Mutter Lishchot Ba Mekalkilhu. Afal Gav Dibisov Perik Elu Dvarim. Psachim daf ayin gimel mechayev linyan Shabbos gabi shochet b'Shabbos. Okay, we don't have to know all the gory details there, but let's just accept the following: that the Gemara in Psachim establishes that if you shecht on Shabbos in a way that you're not yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach or any other mitzvah that we docha Shabbos, you're chayev. And now Tosis has a problem because here the Gemara in Chulin establishes that Shochet is considered a Mekalkel. So Tosis says that as far as Shabbos is concerned, Mishum Tikkun Koldehu, please underline those words, Tikkun Koldehu, the Tikkun Lo Tzio Midei Avram and Achai, he removed the Iser of Avram and Achai, and that's enough to create a Meleches Tikkun, as we saw in Rabbeinu Tam in Masechta Shabbos just a few minutes ago. But here, in Masechta Chulin, Tosis adds a very important phrase. And he basically, between, you know, there's a little asterisk there, there's a sort of like a space between the word hachai and the word shiny, and in that space I would add the following. And if you'll ask me, why is it that as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's enough simply to tell me that there's an element here of tikkun, which is inherent in the shechita, namely it's matir midei Avram and Achai. Why is that sufficient to establish that shechita is a meleches tikkun. After all, financially we said it's a depreciation. Shiny Shabbos. Now, until this point, what we saw in Tosfos in Rabbeinu Tam in Masechta Shabbos, he was just telling me that Avodah Zarah is different, because in Avodah Zarah we have to establish an Isur Anah, and he doesn't get Anah from the Shechita because it devaluates the market value of the animal. But he never said anything about Shabbos. Why is it that in Shabbos this tikkun of Motzio Midei Evrim and Achai is enough to upgrade Shechita to the status of a Meleches Tikkun? And until now, you got the impression that the exception to the rule was Avodah Zarah and Isur HaNoah. Meaning, until now, Tulsa seems to be assuming that Shechita is a Meleches Tikkun. The exception to the rule is Isur HaNoah. In terms of Isur HaNoah, it's called a Kilkul, for that reason. But now, Tosfos seems to be saying something else. Tosfos feels compelled to explain why Shabbos is the exception to the rule, presuming, apparently, that the rule is that Shechita is a kilkul. So why you chayev? What makes it into a tikkun for Shabbos? And Tosfos is going to invoke the two words that we sung yesterday in our little choir here, which are the most fundamental two words in Masechta Shabbos. Everybody, Meleches Machsheves, shiny Shabbos. Shabbos is different. The Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. Now I'm going to stop here for a moment, and I'm going to list, sort of like, shoot off a whole list of Meleches Machsheves Halachas, meaning expressions or applications of the rule of Meleches Machsheves. Okay, let's give you this list. If somebody could write this down. Number one, Melacha Sheinetzricha Legufa, according to Reb Shimon. Okay, now leave a column on the left for the din. Okay, so there's going to be a column on the din. We'll fill in that column in just a minute. So case number one is Melacha Sheinetzricha Legufa for Reb Shimon. Case number two is Mekalkel, according to everybody. Maybe with one exception of Chovel Mafir, but Mekalkel as a general rule. Case number three is Pachos Mishir, or otherwise known as Chatzi Shir. Let's say instead of carrying a full grogeres from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, he carries a half a grogeres. That's less than the Shir. That's also Potter because of Meleches Machsheves. Then we have a case of Ksiva Biad Smol. He wrote with his left hand. That's called Shelo Kedarko, Kelachar Yad. It's an unusual way of doing it, and it's not Meleches Machsheves. Then we have a Rashi in Masechta Beitza. Rashi says in Masechta Beitza that if a person gathers together onions into a basket, that's not called Ma'amir. It's not Meleches Machsheves, because all you have to do is just gather together the onions. That's not called a Meleches Uman. And Rashi says the Meleches Machsheves requires a Meleches Uman. We find something very similar in the case of opening up a boil in order to let the pus out on Shabbos. And if he opens it up Kederach HaRofim, the way that the dermatologists know how to do it, in a very professional way, that's called a Meleches Uman, he's Chayav. Next case, we have something called a Melacha She'eino Miskayemes. That means a Melacha that's going to fade away with time. He's got ink that's going to disappear, or he writes on the outside shell of an onion. You know what it's called? Eino Miskayemes. And that also is Meleches Machsheves. Now we write the din. What's the din in all those cases, Rabbi Osai? Potter. Every single one of those cases on the list. It means that if I ask you in the middle of the night, you should be able to answer this question. Meleches Machsheves, is it a kula or a chumra? What's your answer?
Kula.
It's a kula. Meleches Machsheves is a kula.
Is it the same din as writing in sand?
Writing in sand is also Meleches Sheinu Miskayemes, and if you don't use the right dio, it's not Meleches Miskayemes. All these cases are potter because Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. The Torah has a high standard for Meleches Shabbos, and anything that falls shy of that standard is potter, and that's the great kula of Meleches Shabbos.
So
wait just one second. Now I'm on a roll here. Now I want to know, is it possible that Melechas Machshevas could be a Chumrah? And for that, I want you to, I don't know, Ben, were we able to photocopy the Gemara above the Kama? We not yet. We're not ready for that yet.
That I may have, let me
check. Ooh, that would be wonderful. This is a Gemara, please note, in Bava Kama Daf Samach Omen Aleph. We don't have that? All right. What?
Samach Aleph I have.
Bava Kama Samach Omen Aleph.
Yes, that I was able to do. Before.
Oh, great. If you could just pass it around, make sure that Harvey gets a copy. Yeah.
Here we go.
All right, are you with me, Rabbi Osai? Dr. Joel knows it by heart. So
starting from
Tanu Rabbanan. Well, Daf Samach Omen Aleph, what we want to look at is Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, great, excellent. It's about seven lines down from the top. Be'erech, be'erech. What's going on over here? There's one of the four Avos Nezikin is called Eish. Now, what is Eish? I know you'll tell me it's a fire, but it has a specific meaning. Eish is something that, if left alone, is a very dangerous mazik, because the wind is going to carry the eish from place to place. La fuge, to the exclusion of a case of a very low flame, which is barely caught. It's ma'ume amime, the Gemara says. It's going to go out with a matter of time. Now what happens is you have to take this very low flame and you have to fan it in such a way that it becomes a high flame. And after that, you're going to be chayv when the wind carries it. So that's called Liba. Liba is Lamed Yud Bet He. I don't know if any of you may know a girl by the name of Liba. Well, maybe someone is married to a Liba, I don't know. Or someone's mother was a Liba. Anyway, Liba is a very popular name for people like me who come from Poland. You know. It's not a very common Israeli name, but anyway, Liba.
Be quiet.
Now, Liba in Hebrew means to blow on a fire and fan the flames. On Yom Ha'atzmaut, that's the Kiddush Sayom. That's called Nafnaf. Okay? So Nafnaf, in the Gemara's language, is called Liba. Now, if he blows on the fire and the flame goes up in an intense flame and now the wind can carry it, he's chayv. Why? Because by doing that act of liba and he fanned the flame, now he's created a mazik. And now he's going to be henceforth chayv for the mazik, the av mazik, the four of us nezikin that's called H. But what happens in a case where his liba is not powerful enough to create an H, meaning to create a dangerous fire? He needs the wind, which is called Livsa HaRuach, in order to join together with his Libui in a kind of a partnership. If you want to use a fancy term, we could call it Zevezeh Gorev. You know, it's when you have two causes that piggyback together. You know, they join forces hand in hand. And with that unified force, they create an H. So in such a case, the Brisa says, if you take a look inside on Daf Samach, Liba v'livsa ruach im yesh bili buyo kidei la bosa, if his libui was powerful enough that when he blew the fire went up, then chayav, he's created a mazik v'im lav. But if not, if he needs the liba ruach, livsa ruach, in order to join forces, then he's potur. So the Gemara says, amai, why should it be potur? V'lehevi, where am I? I lost the place. Lehevi kizore the ruach misayato. Where will I find the word zore? Zayin vav resh hey in Masech de Shabbos. Exactly, it's on the Ayin Gimel in the list of the Mishnah's list of 39 malachas. What is zore? He has a pan, and what's in the pan? He's got grain, natural grain, covered by the chaff, and then he takes the pan and he lifts it in such a way that the produce goes up flying in the air, not too high up, but high enough, so that now the wind will carry the chaff away. And what falls back down in the pan?
The grain.
The grain without the chaff. That's called Meleches Zoreh. Okay then? So again, you know, he's holding the pan. Are you looking at the pan? Okay, we got the grain in the pan. You didn't look. We had a principal who used to walk around with keys in his pocket all the time. He's always shaking his keys. And we caught you in the halls, and you were not supposed to be in the halls. He used to take his keys out and throw it up in the air. You immediately looked up at the keys. He slapped you twice and caught his keys. Anyway, so that's called Liba Velibsar Ruach. So what is Melech HaZorah? Melech HaZorah is when he throws the produce into the air, and the wind carries the chaff away. So now, which power is responsible for separating the chaff from the grain?
The wind.
Now, in the case where I need the wind to create this flame, I'm potur. And in Shabbos, when the wind carries away the chaff in Melech HaZorah, I'm chayav. So the Gemara asks the following brilliant question. There seems to be a contradiction between two principles, head-on collision. On the one hand, we have the halacha of Libsa Ruach Potur in Nezikin. On the other hand, Zorah is chayav on Shabbos. That's a classical case of Libsa Ruach. The Ruach does everything over here. I mean, obviously, he has to throw the grain up into the air. So the Gemara gives a number of answers. We're going to focus on Rav Ashi's answer. So if you could fast forward to Rav Ashi, which is a few lines before the Mishnah. Rav Ashi, Omer Ki Amrinon, when do we say Zora? The Ruach Misayato, and the Ruach helps him. And he's Chayav, Hani Mililinyan Shabbos, he's Chayav in Shabbos. Demoleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Do you see those words, Moleches Machsheves? Aval Hocha, but here in Ezekin, he's Potter. Why grub of the Alma who grub in Ezekin Potter? So Rabosai, you'll have to study this Gemara Be'iyun Gadol, Mirza Shembli Neder, but what conclusion do we derive from this Gemara as far as Melech Es Machsheves is concerned? Is that a Kula or is it a Chumra? In this Gemara, it's a Chumra. That in Kolator Kula, you're not chayav for the act of the Ruach, even though, again, you set it up in such a way that now the wind is going to do what it has to do, but nevertheless, the wind did it. And that's not considered your action, that's only grama, that's an indirect action, and you're not chayav for that. In Ezekiel, for example, you're not chayav. But in Shabbos, you're going to be chayav. Why? Because Moleches, Machsheves.
That's a normative way of doing it.
Well, what does the word Machsheves mean? Rashi in Masechta Chagiga, I don't know if you were here, Yehuda, says that it's your plan, it's your scheme, it's your machshava. You know, you planned it that way, you know, and you wanted it that way. Rashi says that if it's Eino Tzricha Legufo, you didn't have the right machshava for that malach, the way it was done in the Mishkan, right? And here too, you had machshava. What was your machshava when you took the pan and you lifted the produce up into the air? That the wind would go ahead and separate the chaff from the grain. That's called Meleches Machsheves. And Meleches Machsheves now changes in a very radical way the standard or the definition of a Maisa. You know, all of Halacha from beginning to end, from A to Z, is all about one concept called a Maisa. Mem, Ayin, Sin, Hey, meaning an action. What defines an action? And this Gemara Bava Kamma is very fundamental. Gemara addressing this question, what constitutes an action? And the Gemara says there's something called grama, which is not called your maisa. You only caused it, you set it up, but you didn't do it. The forces of nature actually brought about the result, so it's not your maisa, as opposed to Shabbos, where it's called your maisa. And why is it called your maisa and your chai from Melech HaZorah? Because Melech HaMachsheves Osra Torah. You put a lot of thought into this. This was a well thought out program or endeavor, a project in which you found the best way to utilize the forces of nature in order to achieve your goal. Now, right now, the scorecard here between Lekula and Lechumra with regard to Melech HaMachsheves is very lopsided. As far as I can tell, we had about 5, 6, I don't remember how many cases of Meleches Machsheves Lekula. On the other side of the scorecard, how many cases of Meleches Machsheves Lechumra did we have? Only one. So I'd like to add a second one to the list. And what's my second one to the list? Go back to Chulin, Daf Ches Amid Aleph, Tosis Dibra Mastil Mutter, which we just did. And Tosus says that Shechita is considered a Meleches Tikkun. And why is Shechita considered a Meleches Tikkun? Because he wants to be Mati the Basar. But Tosis is confused because in Hilchas Avodah Zarah and Isra Anah, we classify and define Shechita as a Meleches Kilkul. So why is it that in the case of Hanah, we define and we categorize Shechita as a Meleches Kilkul? Because ultimately your Hanah is depreciated, your value or your ownership on this meat is now depreciated vis-a-vis the value of the animal when it was alive, and yet in Shabbos Yechayv it's considered a tikkun. Why? Because you are matir the Isur Eivim Menachai. And what's Tosus's answer? Why you chayv in Shabbos? Shiny Shabbos the Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Now, do you have a little number over there or a letter? Yeah, I have these very fancy Gemaras here. That's called the Oz Vahada Gemara. So he has a little number there, but I honestly can't see it too well.
Where is it?
Right after the words Asra Torah. Anyway, there's some sort of a footnote here. You don't have that. Okay.
Unless we have
it. Okay, I'll try to figure out what's in the footnote. But I would like to add my own footnote. My footnote would be Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah Ayin Bavakama Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Because what would Tosis gain from Masechta Bavakama Daf Samach Amud Aleph? Meleches Machsheves Lechumra. And that's what Tosis wants to borrow and apply here with regard to Shechita. What does he want out of the Shechita? You'll tell me, well, in Ultimate Hanah, in the bank account, he's got a depreciation. He has a deficit. It was worth 1,000, now it's only worth 500. It's like if I give the marshal, you buy a car. So the car sells for 25 grand. The minute you buy it, it's worth 5 grand. I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating, but you take it for a test run. After you buy it, it's already a used car. Here also, once you shech the animal, sell it for its meat, but that's a fraction of its original value as a workhorse, as a work animal. Tosa says, therefore, that it's not Hanah, it's a Kilkul. And in Sakin Shal Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to use the Sakin for Shechita. Yet, at the same time, Tosa says it's called a Tikkun. Paradoxically, the same Shechita, which we a second ago classified as Kilkul, now we classify as Tikkun. And why, Tosa says? Because Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. And in Shabbos, you're going to be chayav for it. Because he wants that Shechita badly. Without that Shechita, what is he left with? What's the status of the flesh of the animal? What kind of Isur is it? Let's call it by its name. It's called Eivor Min HaChai. And Shechita is going to be matir the Isur Eivor Min HaChai. And that's what he wants. And if that's his planned out scheme, then, again, Berzon's talking now, it's like Melech HaZorah, where his scheme is in order to get rid of the chaff, separated from the grain, he needs the help of the wind. So he does this winnowing, and he takes the pan and he throws it up. That wind is considered his action of Melech HaZorah. We see that Meleches Machsheves gives us the opportunity to operate within a different frame of reference, and if there is a purpose or a goal, and the action is done with a well-planned out, project in order to achieve that goal, that's called Meleches Machsheves. And the Torah, through Meleches Machsheves, upgrades something to be considered your Maisa Melacha, even though by the standards of Kol HaTorah Kula, universally, would not be considered a Maisa, would be considered Grama, but here it's considered a Maisa. And Tosis applies that logic to the case of Tikkun. When is it considered a Tikkun? When is it considered a Kilkul? In Kol HaTorah Kula, by universal standards, I might classify this Shechita as a Kilkul, but in Shabbos it's considered a Tikkun. Why? Because Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. V'kevan sheyesh Tikkun Purta, says Tosis, Chashiv Meleches Machsheves Shalakach niskaven. Please underline those two words. Shalakach niskaven. Everything depends upon his kavana. This was all part of a master plan, and therefore Tosa says he will be chayav. It's considered a meleches tikkun. Afal pisha kilkulo yeser al tilkuno. Even though, if you put them on the scales, you know, the kilkul and the devaluation of the animal is greater than the additional, you know, the heter that now he's allowed to eat the meat. But if your standards are to determine whether it's hana, me'avodas kol chavim, lo chashiv hana, it's not considered hana, kevon shekil kulo yeser al tikuno. Everything is great, and I'm very excited, but I have one problem. What about the case of tzarech lekalbo, chovel v'tzarech lekalbo? Why wouldn't Meleches Machsheves kick in that case? Remember that Rabbi Yehuda's sheet, as Tosfos presented it, is that in the case of Chovel Vitzorach Dam Lekalbo, he's potter. And that's because it's Mekalkin. And Tosfos says that Rabbi Yehuda is unwilling to recognize this Tikkun Ktsas as a Tikkun. Why not apply the same yardstick? Just like we said, that in the case of Shechita, the tikkun in the fact that you were matir the boso from Avraham and Achai is enough for tikkun. It's a tikkun ktsas, a tikkun purta. But nevertheless, that tikkun is enough to be considered a meleches, to make shochet into a meleches tikkun. Why? Because the meleches machsheves hasr Torah, kavanosol lekach. What about kavanosol lekach? He wants to remove the blood from his victim in order to feed his dog. He wants to burn down this haystack in order to use the Afer for his purposes. Why isn't that called Meleches Machsheves Hasra Torah? Why can't that convert and transform Meleches Chovel Mavir into Meleches Tikkun?
No, because it's not normative. That's not the normal.
Exactly. Belief. That even though we have a loch of Kavanoso Lekach, we still have to have a condition fulfilled. The Kavanoso Lekach has to fulfill the standard or universal definition of kavanosa lekach. If it's a case of kavanosa lekach, which is normal, normative behavior, then we can apply the principle of meleches machsheves, and now Shabbos will be lechumra, whereas kol haTorah kula would not be lechumra. But if you have a kind of strange, fluky situation in which his kavanah is for something that's by universal standards for Shashar B'nai Adam, for other people, is an absolute killkill. I mean, what are you, crazy? You're burning down a haystack that's worth thousands for the sake of Afer. Go into your local Afer store and buy some bags of Afer, if there is such a thing. Or you want to feed your dog blood? Go into your local pet food blood store. I don't know if there is such a thing.
According to Beis Hillel, everyone always has Afer Kira in their stove. You can go get that.
Yeah, so he can go into his stove and find his Afer cube. Okay, Rabosai, now what I'd like you to work on, besides the Tosin that we did today, and especially the Tosin Chulin on Daf Ches Amun Alf Mutar, and also the Gemara in Bava Kama. And I just want to see if there's anything else here that... Oh yeah, there's a Mishnah Brura that I wanted you to prepare. Ben, that we're going to photocopy for the Chevra?
Right after Shir.
Okay, right after Shir, we'll photocopy a Mishnah Brura. I tried this, the Mishnah Brura that I photocopied for you would take you a month. So, no, it's just massive. He goes on and on endlessly. You have to know Kol haTorah Kula. But what I tried to do is, I tried to use an old-fashioned method of making a little arrow, circling things, underlining things, and that's where I want you to put the emphasis and the focus. That's as far as the Mishnah Brura is concerned. If there's anything else that I want to add, right now I don't know of anything, but I think we have quite a bit of work to do, and that's it. So tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll go through some of these sources inside, and we'll hopefully move on. Okay, then that'll be the last year of Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Okay.
Okay.
All right, it's good. Thank you so much.